Hello, everyone, and welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. Excited to have first-time guest talking about the up-and-coming Regional Airport Authority and drone delivery system. I have Mr. Dean Selby and Mr. Ryan Traversa with me. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, appreciate y'all being here. Got a lot to talk about, but first I do want to get into a little bit of y'all's background because I want people to know who we're listening to. Now, Dean, I'll start with you. You are the director at the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport Authority, just down the road from our studio, not far away. How long did it take you? 5 minutes to get here?
Ten at most, maybe? Yeah.
But Dean, how long have you been at the Airport Authority?
I've been there a little over 8 years. We've went through a lot of changes in the last 8 years. Growing airport, we've got a lot on the horizon and a lot to come, and we're excited about it and excited about what all has happened and the importance of the airport and integration of aviation into the local community, especially from an economic standpoint. Just, it can't be understated. People don't realize how many times we're receiving freight in the last 2 weeks. Once, twice a night, we're receiving freight to keep some of these companies open that are, you know, would have to shut down if they couldn't have that immediate freight operation, air freight.
What made you decide 8 years ago that this for airport authorities, what's something you wanted to do?
Well, my background is aviation. It has been for years, but I've been in facility management for my whole career. This is just another facility. If an airport is a small town, you have all the infrastructure you would have in a small town. You have an electrical infrastructure, sewage infrastructure, water infrastructure. You got roadways, which in our case happens to be a runway, but you've got the same kind of concerns and the same stuff you're dealing with aeronautics and the state and the different divisions, and finding funding is the biggest challenge sometimes. But enjoy it. If as long as we can make a difference and we can do something that's good for the community, I'm for it.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And, of course, Ryan Traversa is with the Tennessee Department of Transportation. And believe it or not, TDOT actually is involved with more than just roads, right, Ryan?
Yes, sir.
He is the manager of drones and advanced aviation currently. And, Dean, you wanted to bring him in because he is a drone expert, right? He can talk about the drone delivery system that we're talking about with Airport Authority. So are you questioning the expert title, Ryan?
The expert title. I don't love that, but Dean, I've known Dean for quite a while. I actually used to work with him in his airport prior to the role that I'm in now, and Dean's always liked to throw me under the bus into the wolf, so thank you, Dean.
So how long have you been with TDOT, Ryan?
So I've actually been with TDOT for 7.5 years.
Okay. What'd you do before that?
Before that, I was a Marine Corps rifleman, served 5 years then, got out, went to MTSU, had goals and aspirations to be an air traffic controller, got the phone call to go to Oklahoma City, or have that stable, you know, 9-to-5 job with TDOT.
Yeah.
And, you know, had the discussion with the wife, and we said, hey, well, you know what, we're gonna stick it out with DOT.
Well, so, thank you for your service as a Marine.
Yes, sir.
I learned early in my young adult life is once a Marine, always a Marine. You know, you never retire, right? You're never a former Marine, you're a Marine. So thank you for your service for our country and that. And I'm guessing maybe some of the drone passion started there. Is that when you started learning about drones, or was that after you got out of the Marines?
So actually, the drones was something that I found very interesting. When I was at MTSU, I was actually an aerospace ambassador, so my job was to recruit students. And one of the things that I always told them was, hey, I foresee drones being the future. Main reason why is because of how much they cost, what they were able to do, what they were basically being utilized for. And I sat there and said, hey, this is, in my eyes, the clear and obvious route forward, at least for aerial technologies.
Okay.
So I grew a passion in that. And when I joined the DOT, I was a background of grant management compliance, which is basically, you know, writing grants, making sure that invoices were paid, doing compliance review, making sure everyone was abiding by the legalities of thing. We had a drone section that was growing. And basically what happened is my previous boss came in and said, hey, I like what you did in grant management compliance, because I was a supervisor over there. And he said, hey, I want you to build a team for me over here in the drone section.
Yep.
And I said, you got the right man. Let's do it. And yeah, ever since then, that's where I've been.
So, Dean, do you have any drone experience per se? I mean, maybe not like Ryan does, but
from an operational standpoint, no. But from a compliance standpoint, yeah, we deal with the possibilities of how we integrate them into the airspace system. How does that work with the traffic that we have and the way that we work? So, yeah, we get a lot of requests for drones around the area, and how do we fly them? We use drones as a generic term. That can encompass a lot of things, as Ryan will probably get into, because there's a lot of different you may be talking about some little small hobby drone all the way up to huge mapping drones. So there's a lot of different operations out there.
So let me tell you about my drone experience. You're about to be blown away. I operated the drone for Upperman High School football during football games. I know you're impressed. It's okay. You don't have to give me an applause.
I actually am.
But that's the only drone experience I have, which was pretty cool, because the only thing that's not cool about it is when the battery gets low and you're still in a drive and you don't want to miss a play because it may be a crucial play they want to go back and look at. Because what we're doing is we're feeding drone footage directly to an iPad where they can go back and look at the previous play, right? You know, like the huddle software and all those software. So it's very – my job was very important. I mean, not to some people, but – if you're in the middle of drive and that battery's going down, I've got to bring it down or it's going to fall on some players' heads or the referee, and then we're going to get flagged. So that was a very stressful situation. That's why I only did it 2 years. I finally retired. So I can't do this anymore. I'm going to fly it into a player, a referee, a coach, a plane. I mean, that's my capability. But that's the only experience I have. I've flown one around where I live, west of Baxter, down in what we call the holler. I have done that with the one they had the football. That was pretty cool, but about lost it. So I don't know much about it. That's the whole point of my story. I don't know much about drones, but I'm excited to talk about it. So let's get into what we call the commercial drone delivery that's being discussed. And so has this been implemented, Dean, yet at the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport, or is this something we're talking about doing?
No, I'm not aware of any commercial drone delivery in this area yet. You may have known of something that has happened around that I'm not aware of, but it's coming. Mm-hmm. I really feel like that it's something that is unavoidable, but I've not actually seen the actual delivery in this area yet.
So I'll step in. So from my perspective as the DOT, there has been no commercial drone deliveries that have taken place within the state of Tennessee. Now, there are commercial drone deliveries that are occurring in other states. I'm not going to name any of them.
Sure.
Just because I don't want to get in trouble.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you can Google it and find out for yourself. But the idea is we are looking at the opportunity to bring that here to the state of Tennessee, and we want to make sure for us to do that, that we're doing it in the safest and most efficient manner. The other thing, too, is we want use cases. We don't want people just flying around drones for no reason. We want to have a purpose and a reason that we can justify to the Tennessee people. Not necessarily just in this area,
sure,
but just the entire state as a whole. Because if we're doing it for a good use case, then I firmly believe we'll get a lot more public buy-in and say, hey, you have our support. We understand the vision that you are trying to go forward with. So we're keeping all our avenues open right now. But as of right now, we are digging into some special use cases that we can actually bring a company in. And, you know, to keep going into it, he told me not to stop talking. But the idea is we have had these discussions with commercial drone companies and said, hey, this is a use case we're interested in. And they said, yeah, we're interested too. Let's see if we can partner up with some people. And we are just in there making sure that we have, you know, these relationships built. And we know how to integrate these technologies into the state to ensure we have the safest environment possible.
So what is the definition of a commercial drone delivery system? What does that mean?
So it is strictly a drone operation that is for profit, that is delivering packages or goods.
So I guess, and forgive me because of my lack of knowledge, but when we hear Amazon, about Amazon taking deliveries with a robot, that could also mean a drone. Amazon may be using a drone to deliver their packages. Is that what we're talking about essentially? Or
so Amazon does have a program where they are working on drone delivery. However, I don't want to get into the details because I'm not really sure where they're at. But as of right now, I know they're highly interested in it. I've been at several conferences where they've showcased their drone and kind of like had presentations on it. I don't feel confident in saying they actually have operations occurring anywhere,
okay,
but I could also be ignorant.
Well, I think I may have saw it on the movie, so forgive me. You know, movies inflate stuff and it's fictional, but we're always advancing with technology and everything we do in life, right? And so drones have become big over the last, I mean, really 10 to 15 years, I'm guessing. People started using them, and now they're trying to find ways to use them for profit. And that's where you both gentlemen come in, because at the Airport Authority, you got to be in compliance with what's around you, I'm assuming. And as TDOT, you're the government regulatory side of it, so you're obviously going to be talking to Dean about those things. So what would that mean for the people in the Upper Cumberland or anywhere if we start seeing commercial drone deliveries? How does that impact them? Should they be scared to death? Should they be just, hey, that's a drone, they're doing this thing? How do we inform our people about what this could mean?
So that's one reason why I'm here, because I want to make sure that I can reach out to the public and communicate, like, hey, you know, people, this isn't the wild, wild west. You know, we're coming in here. We have a plan. We want to develop the infrastructure. We want to make sure that these operations are safe and secure. You know, am I going to lie to you and say people aren't going to be scared? No, people will be scared.
Yeah.
I think that's always going to be the case every time you introduce any kind of new technology or any kind of new transportation. It is a scary concept. One thing that I've known in my age when I was younger was like, hey, I'm not scared of anything. And when you get older, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
I just threw out my back getting out of bed.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to deal with that, you know? So it's like, hey, I understand that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And my job is to reach out to us. Talk to me. You know, you have my name. You know, I'm okay answering these phone calls. I'm okay answering this because that is the last thing I want Tennessee people to feel is that fear moving into this new world.
Yeah.
And I feel that way with my executive leadership as well. I'm like, hey, I'm here to guide you and help you understand what we can and cannot do. Now, if my executive leadership says, hey, we need to take this route, it is my job to integrate their vision and help them see a future that they can believe and buy in.
That sounds good. Dean?
I'm kind of proud of the way TDOT has taken a proactive approach to this, of working with this government and other state governments around. Some states have not been as proactive in preparing for this, and I think that's going to be a little bit more of a challenge. You were talking about have we integrated this yet? Well, this they've started the process behind the scenes of getting ready for it, so right. It's not a surprise. It's not a, oh, my gosh, we've got to figure this out by next week. There's a learning curve that's going to occur, but – perhaps it's going to occur in a controlled environment,
sure,
rather than in, somebody mentioned, the wild, wild west. We don't. That's what we don't want in aviation, any form of aviation. We don't want the unknown popping in that we've not prepared for.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that TDOT has tried to work on is getting a good plan together. And I'm proud to say that I've been associated with them.
Well, when we come back after the break, I do want to ask a little bit more about that and how communication from TDOT down to the airport authorities have been. I imagine it's really good because our government does a great job. So I have Mr. Dean Selby and Mr. Ryan Traversa. Dean is with the upcoming regional airport. Ryan's with TDOT. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Dean Selby and Ryan Traversa. Dean is with the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport Authority. Ryan is with TDOT. He is the manager of drones and advanced aviation with TDOT. And yes, I said TDOT. They do more than just roads and interstates. There's a lot of regulation there that y'all cover at TDOT. We're not going to get into all that because that's not why we're here. Talking about commercial drone delivery, it's not been implemented. It's a discussion. Dean, I don't know how many airports there are in the state of Tennessee. But obviously, you got Ryan here, and that means you all talk a lot. I'm assuming TDOT is conversing with you all about potential commercial drone delivery, and you may be talking to them. When's the first you heard about this could be happening in our area?
Well, not just in this area, but in general. We've started hearing about it for several years. You know, it's been coming up, and I think drones in the last 2 to 3 years have really started gaining traction as there's more and more companies entering the arena and building larger and heavier drones. And we see them being used for mapping highways and doing geological surveys and doing all of these different property surveys that you really are way more efficient than it is to go out there and walk through the woods and find the corners of the property when you're, you know, in the middle of the wilderness, right, basically, when you can fly over it and say, this is the point, this is the point, this is the point. So there's more and more to get to that. And then as we talk about commercial delivery, you started seeing some of the larger players begin to see their development of these package delivery, small package delivery. And I think it's an opportunity that's coming one way or the other. I mean, who would have thought 10 years ago that we would be having Saturday and Sunday deliveries from FedEx and UPS? But
yeah.
Yet now it's it's just like, oh, it's Sunday and here comes the FedEx driver. It's an involvement that is happening in multiple ways as it's moving forward. We talked about medical deliveries. That's becoming another thing. And I feel like we'll probably see that before we see commercial delivery in Tennessee as possibly medical type, used for medical blood delivery. Say, for instance, you've got a specialty clinic that needs to have this blood sample to Knoxville tomorrow or today. It needs to go right now. Well, what would be the most efficient way to do it?
Sure.
What would you think, Ryan? Is that a possibility?
It's always a possibility. Like I said, the DOT does not want to be responsible for, you know, shutting down ideas or concepts, but the idea is much more giving people that power and encouragement to chase their dreams on what they want.
Right.
So yeah, you're absolutely correct, Dean, to be very transparent with you when it comes to, you know, how you how do you bring drones into this world? There's a lot of studying that goes into it. You know, you have to look at traffic pattern flows. You have to look into how far away, you know, that flight is. Do you have the appropriate tools set in place to make sure you can monitor those drones and ensure that safe environment? There's a lot of different moving pieces into it. But again, that use case is going to be essential to get that public buy-in.
I love that. So let's talk about, we talked about public buy-in. Y'all may not know this. I work with the legislature, the Tennessee General Assembly, on the county government side. I lobby for county governments. Do you all have conversations with your legislators, especially with ours here in the upcoming, and then you as TDOT? Do they ask you all questions about what these drone delivery system looks like? Have y'all had that discussion yet?
I have not specifically with drones, aviation in general. And when I'm talking about the airspace system, that's always a component of it that we're discussing, because from an airport standpoint and from aviation standpoint in general, we know that that's coming. We know not only is it coming, there are drones out there being flown now. Most of them are not, we call them BLOS, they're not beyond line of sight, but they're still close to the person using them. But that still concerns people when they see a drone flying sometimes. And it's like, well, their rules are, I've had people say, well, why don't they get that higher and get it above me or whatever? Well, they can't operate over 400 feet. There's a whole set of rules that they have to abide by. And I don't know if the general public understands that there's a pretty good defined set of rules for that, especially if you're doing things like mapping or surveying and some of the other things that you do. Those are professional pilots. They're not just someone who you just hired off the street to come fly these more complicated drones. Now, your small hobby drones, they're not as big of a threat. They're usually small. The worst thing that can happen is they fall out of the air.
Right. Yeah.
Still have all your hobbyists fly within the regulations, please?
Yeah. Yes.
Just 100%.
The one thing I will say is another intricate piece that we're missing is this is all administered by the FAA.
Yes.
So the federal government is administering these rules. They do their studies. They do their evaluations. They make these determinations. And I feel strongly that the federal government knows what they're doing, and they're going to be, you know, advocating for changes if they need to occur. In regards to how much, you know, discussions do I have with our legislators in regards to that, being a Marine, I'm a big advocate for chain of command.
Right.
So I go to my director, and then after that, you know, my director does what he wants to with that information, and whenever he goes up the corporate ladder or his ladder, then yeah, but I have no direct correspondence with any of them.
Well, so let's talk about FAA and TDOT, right? So FAA is making the rules. Let's just say that. What's TDOT's role? Once the rules are established, you go out and help and consult with the airports to let them to translate, or maybe let them help them understand the rules? Is that how that works?
Yes, absolutely. The idea is these airport managers, our job, like I said, and I've said it like 10 times, so please don't be mad at me, but our number one priority is safety.
Yeah.
So it is our job to go to these airports and say, hey, this is legislation that's being pushed. Like, do not shoot down drones. Well, maybe an airport manager wants to. Do not shoot down the drones.
Right.
It is a federal crime.
Like, right.
Please, please, please do not shoot down. What you need to do is you need to call your local authorities, local law enforcement, and make sure that they come out, make sure that they handle the situation. Do not take this situation into your own hands.
Sure.
And that's something that, you know, people may not know. People may feel, you know, encouraged to engage a drone. You know, maybe the drone is flying over my house. It's my property. Well, who determines what that property is?
Right.
You know, who determines that? It's the federal government.
Yeah.
So the federal government's going to say, no, what you did was a federal crime, and now we have to pursue charges against you.
Sure.
And I don't want that for Tennessee residents.
Right.
I want the Tennessee people to feel safe, that their state government cares about them, and they want what's best for them. Because honestly, I love Tennessee. I love what we're doing. I love how we've progressed. I like the, you know, these different opportunities that have come to our table, and we're willing to, you know, decide whether we want to pursue them or not. And I love the direction that we're going, and I want to make sure that our people are taken care of.
I think, well, yeah, I mean, you work for the state, and that's part of your job, right? Being with the government, we're here to help. I know people make fun of that statement. That's honestly, I worked for the government for 20 years, 19 years, and my job was to help. My job, and that sounds like what you're trying to do, especially with like Dean and other airports.
I will say that statement came from Ronald Reagan.
It did.
Talking about the federal government.
Yeah, it did.
We're the state government. Yeah, all right, a little bit different.
That's true.
But what I will say is those people who work for TDOT, you know, we do have a passion for taking care of the Tennessee people.
Sure.
And that is something that I can – I've been there 7.5 years. I've met a lot of people. I'm a social guy. You could probably imagine every single one of them, big advocates for safety and ensuring the safest environment for Tennessee people. So,
are you getting a lot of calls, Ryan, from airports and like elected officials, city and county officials about drones?
So, no, not particularly. I was expecting a lot more, but again, it really depends on how much is happening in that realm that they want answers. You know, my job and my belief is that I need to go out there and make myself known. Which is why I'm here.
Sure.
You know, thank you, Dean, for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ben, for the opportunity. But the idea is I want to put my name out there so people can call me. And I've had some off-the-wall calls where they're like, hey, how should I handle this? What's the regulation on this? And I'm like, well, look here. Look at this. Let us guide you and stuff like that.
I think a big distinction, though, between a drone flying over your house and harassing you or for some nefarious reason is a clear distinction. The airspace is different from someone flying over it than when someone's harassing you or causing some issues with a drone. And I think that's the thing that people need to realize is that the airspace belongs to the federal government.
Correct. Yeah, that's great. I'm with Dean Selby and Ryan Traversa, both here talking about commercial drone delivery and the discussion of what could be in the future. We'll be back in just a moment after this break on Local Matters. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with Mr. Dean Selby, the director at the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport, and then Mr. Ryan Traversa, the manager of drones and advanced aviation with the Tennessee Department of Transportation. Great discussion on drones and maybe the potential of commercial drone delivery in this area. And Ryan, I asked you about, have you been contacted by, haven't had a lot of calls from elected officials or people in general? And so, Dean, same goes for you. Your board's got 4 elected officials on it, and that's not your whole board, but have you had the discussion with your board about the potential of commercial drone delivery in this area?
And as an official discussion, no, but unofficially and just random discussions, yes. I mean, you said we have 4 elected officials. We got the mayor of Sparta, the mayor of Cookeville, the Putnam County mayor, and the White County mayor all serve on our board because this airport is owned by all 4 governments. It's a little unusual situation, but it works for us, and it's really worked in the Upper Cumberland to bring different counties together to be able to discuss this. But we have had discussions about what it will mean and how we're going to integrate it, but it's still so early in the stage that we don't know what to ask yet.
Sure.
We're still waiting for a defined plan of how it's going to work. Obviously, we deal with drones quite a bit, and we've discussed some of the other possibilities that's coming forward, electric aircraft. There's a whole lot of stuff that's out there right now that could change the landscape for the ability. Advanced air mobility is one of them that you may see coming to this area, and with Whisper Aero being in Crossville, that's one possibility that you might see some of the prototype stuff flying around that's just an unusual aircraft that doesn't look like the traditional aircraft.
So what does that look like? Is it look like a plane? Does it look like a drone? Is it a mixture? What do those objects look like?
I'd say you've seen more of them than I have, Ryan.
Yeah, I'd say AAM is, pretty big deal or a big part of my job. With advanced aviation, you're going to have 2 different types of aircrafts. One is an ECTOL, which is going to be electric conventional takeoff and landing. The other one's going to be eVTOL, which is electric vertical takeoff and landing. Okay. So basically think of an electric helicopter or an electric airplane. How advanced aviation is defined is basically innovative aerial technologies utilizing alternative fuel sources. And the key takeaway here is automated flight. That's the big one that gets a lot of people get their heckles raised. They're like, oh my goodness, you want me to get into a what that doesn't have a pilot? Yeah, scary concept. There are some big players in this area. Many of them, I'll name some: Beta, Archer, Joby, Wisk. We even have a startup here in Crossville, Tennessee, called Whisper Aero. They are much more into the propulsion side of things. I don't want to speak, on what their end goal is in regards to their company, but they seem to be pretty prominent in that realm as well. These aircrafts are going to be used primarily for cargo and passenger. So the idea is you will be able to fly short distances. So think of being able to fly from Crossville to Nashville. And the idea is you have that option if you would like to take it. So these are all different, technologies that are coming about. They're becoming a thing. And we even had Beta came and land in Tri-Cities Airport recently. So the idea is, hey, it's happening. And we need you all you all being the people of Tennessee be aware of these technologies, because I know for a fact, first time that I saw an AAM aircraft, I said, that ain't no plane. I don't know what that is, but you need to calm down right now.
Right.
But the idea, I was like, hey, this is pretty cool, because again, I didn't know this until I got into that world. So again, my job is to bring awareness to these aerial innovative technologies and let people know, like, hey, don't be scared. If you see something, reach out to people, because so you're not alone.
Where were you when you saw that first AAM? Where were you at?
YouTube.
Okay. So you went outside your yard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've never actually seen one firsthand.
Okay.
I know they exist. I've seen some prototypes, which unfortunately with a prototype means it doesn't fly.
Right.
But the idea is they're there. The videos are there. They're doing a lot of overseas operations. So you're looking in Dubai and stuff like that. So they have things. China is doing a lot of operations in this world too. So the technology is there and it's happening, and it's happening in America as well. And again, I don't want to sit there and speak on America, but for Tennessee, I know there's interest to operate here.
Right.
So we'll see if it actually ever occurs. I'm hopeful, but we'll see.
Do these AAMs come in all sizes?
So as of right now, the typical size that you'll see is a 4-passenger aircraft.
Okay.
I have heard that they're going to expand into larger aircraft, but as of right now, the majority of flying is going to be a 4-passenger aircraft.
Okay. Have you, Dane, been able to witness an AAM?
No, I've not actually seen one, but we have started putting together the infrastructure to be able to support these in the future. I mean, we've ran 3-phase power throughout the airport. We've got some stub outs toward that. We're ready to put the charging stations in for this kind of potential operation. And I think it's kind of exciting, but I too am one of the ones going, I'm not going to be the first one to get on this,
right?
But somebody's out there going, hey, put me down. Yeah. I'm first,
yeah.
You know, so let them prove it. And then I don't see why, what would be different than that, than some of your vehicles now that have lane keeping and some of the other stuff. A few years ago, I'd been like, you don't give me anything because we'll take a steering wheel away from
right.
me. And now it's like just normal.
Well, I have a friend that went to Arizona a few weeks ago that they took an Uber, and it was a electronic computerized car. There was no driver. They got in the back seat. Wait, the map was there. This is where you're going. It drove by itself. They were probably scared to death. I would have been, being from Baxter, but you know, but that's, you know, why, if they can do it on the ground, why can't they do it in the air? I guess the technology's there, right? So Dean, who was the first person to let you know about this happening? Was it Ryan or T-Dot, or was it somebody else?
I would say Ryan and I probably had the first discussions about where we were going, where we thought the future would be, because I was one of the reluctant ones that they had to drink. Pull along, kicking and screaming, going, "Hey, you're going to have to start thinking about this too, and making plans for this." But now we're beginning to accept it, like everything else with technology. I mean, it takes getting used to the fact that it could be changing. Seeing more and more states operate some of the testing stuff. I think a lot of it's out in the desert. They're doing some of the testing out, and I'm wanting to say it's Utah, California, out in that area somewhere that. It will expand. It's coming. It's just a matter of being ready for it and having a plan to be able to understand what you're seeing.
Yeah, and I'll speak on that as well. It was officially announced that in the Olympics of 2028 that Archer aircraft is going to be the official advanced aviation aircraft.
Okay.
So I would definitely recommend that you guys look it up. I know on radio shows sometimes they have a TV and they look it up and they go, wow, so cool. But that being said, so it is here and it is coming, and that's the exciting news about it. Utah is also doing a lot of research, and I probably shouldn't say states. You're going to get me in trouble. But the one thing that I really want to bring awareness to the Tennessee people is – it's not just an aircraft. You have to think what comes with this. And what I'm envisioning are jobs. You're going to have a great opportunity for new jobs coming out there. Let's say you have Whisper Aero that, you know, takes off. Oh,
yeah.
It was a pun. All right. Anyways, that being said, you got somebody laughed.
I got it now.
Somebody said it. Okay. Thank you. All right.
Yeah.
The awkward silence is killing me. But anyways, but if they decide, like, hey, Tennessee's taking care of us, we really see an opportunity to grow here, then guess what? We're going to bring manufacturing here, you know? And then guess what? That's a lot of jobs.
Sure.
And people, you know, I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence, but manufacturing, you know, that is a backbone, or was a backbone in America. Won't get into the politics and all that. But the idea is, you know, bring that manufacturing to these new innovative technologies. If it's automated flight, you don't need a pilot, which that clears up that bottleneck. And then guess what? Lo and behold, you have pumping out countless amount of aircrafts. And what was really important we have to make sure that this is integrated in a safe and efficient manner, yeah. just like drones. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I want everyone to know is like, hey, this is not going to be the Wild Wild West.
Right.
We are going to have a plan with this. We are going to have a strategy, and we are going to execute. And that is something that I feel very confident in because, like, the FAA controls the airspace, FAA does regulations, but you know what? The state is going to sit there and work with the FAA. That's the last thing we want is the FAA to feel like they're alone, just like we don't want the Tennessee people to feel alone either.
Sure.
We're going to make this a successful mission, and I want people to be encouraged and excited by this because, yeah, it seems a little weird, seems a little futuristic, maybe a little bit like the Jeffersons. Might be showing my age there. Or Jetsons. I'm sorry, Jetsons.
Yeah. Pfft,
missed that.
That's all right. Okay.
That being said, the idea is, hey, it's here. Be prepared. What does this mean for us?
Yeah.
So that's what we're thinking.
Dean, how important is it to have somebody like Ryan and T-Dot available to call and talk about these things and the advancement of technology? Because, you know, your board eventually is going to ask you and you want to be ahead of that. How, I mean, how valuable is that for you?
Well, I feel like with the way this state is set up with an aeronautics division of T-Dot, it allows us as airports to have someone to go to that we have a close relationship with rather than having to call on the FAA, which I've got a good relationship with a lot of those people too, but it gives us a more a closer connection. Sure. That's actually within the state. We're not calling somebody in Atlanta or DC or Oklahoma City. It's someone who's here, who lives here, and who cares about this state. And that's kind of a good benefit for the airports anyway. Is it local tie. It is someone from the Nashville area, the Nashville market. A couple of your aeronautics people live right here in the Upper Cumberland that work with airports every day. So, I mean, it's not unusual to them to – I guess they can relate to the local people is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. A little bit better than someone sure. from another state can when you're calling asking questions.
Yeah, well, and Ryan has said many times, I'm here to answer questions, right? So that's a great resource to have. And the last minute or so that we have, guys at the airport, we talked about AEMs. They're not really here yet. But obviously, if they when they start, they're going to use your space in this area to land and take off, I'm assuming, right, Dean?
We assume. We presume that that's the way it'll work, yes.
So people in White County may see them more often than people like in Western Putnam County where I live. But speaking of Utah and funny things flying in the air, I was just at Bryce Canyon last week. And I look up in the sky, and there's 48 to 50 Starlinks that just got launched. And we're actually watching the sky. We're at a star party, which – I love looking at stars. And we're like, what in the world? And somebody says, that's a Starlink launch. It was blew my mind because it's just these line of satellites just going through the sky. So there are things in the sky we don't always understand, which I think is important to have while we got Ryan and T-Dot. So, guys, thank you all for being here. Appreciate the time. What a lot of load of information. Very, very valuable for us listening. Dean, appreciate what you do for the Upper Cumberland and your service. Ryan, thank you again for your service to our country and your service to T-Dot and the state, educating, informing people on these drones and all the strange things we may see. Appreciate all the work you do. Folks, remember, it's a lot easier to smile than to frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. It's the only way we get through this life. Guys, thank you all for being here. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate the time. I hope everybody enjoyed this episode of Local Matters. We'll see you next week.